Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to preach for just a few moments this morning from Genesis chapter 41. I want to talk about this story because in the dream that Pharaoh had that Joseph was to interpret was the skinny cows and the fat cows, representing the interpretation of that was 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. The fat cows being the years of greatness and plenty, and the skinny cows representing bad days. So what you have is, I believe, that speaks to us today is that all of us in life are going to have good days and bad days. All of us in life are going to have good times and bad times. And what I want you to understand is the Bible is a manual for successful living, not just in the good times, but it teaches us how we are to think, to live, to react to the good times and the bad times, the times of plenty and the times of scarcity, the beautiful seasons of our life and the extremely ugly times of our life. The principle that I'm going to share with you today can save your marriage. The principle that I'm about to give you can save your family, your job, your relationship with God, even your relationship with this church. God wants to give you spiritual success, and the proper interpretation of Joseph's dream would be the secret to Egypt's survival and the secret to his own family survival. God showed him the way I want you to handle the bad times is by recognizing, and it all depends on how you handle the good times. The way you handle your good years will determine if you survive the bad years. In other words, you must learn to maximize the positive if you're going to get through this famine that's coming, Joseph was saying in the interpretation. If you don't learn how to maximize the good times and minimize the bad times, then you won't make it through the famine. You see, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts was poured out upon the disciples in the upper room. And I want you to understand that if you don't get the Holy Spirit saturating your upper room, which is your mind and your thinking, when the bad times come, you will become cynical, you will become critical, you will become depressed, discouraged, you will become negative. And we need a baptism in our upper room of the Holy Spirit. We need a spirit-baptized brain to deal with the bad times and not lose focus of the good. See, I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. In the dream, the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. And in other words, here's what I want you to get. This is the main point. If you don't watch it, you allow the bad times to eat up the good times. And you begin to take on a belief system in your mind that begins to defeat you. We need spirit-baptized brains so that we will think right, especially in the bad days. Because if I think right, I will do right. If I think right, I will act right. One man said, we need a checkup from our neck up. I like that. If you don't get a checkup from your neck up, you'll become guilty of stinking thinking. And you'll begin to allow the bad to swallow up and eat up the good. And that's not God's will for you to allow that to happen. We are victorious and more than conquerors, not just in the good times, but we're more than conquerors in the bad times. If you don't let the bad eat up the good. I want a sanctified mind. Not just sanctified from lust and unclean thoughts, but I want a sanctified mind that is the mind of Christ, that when bad times and disappointments and damaging news comes to my life, I don't allow the bad to eat up all my joy and all my salvation and all of my freedom and all of my baptism in the Holy Spirit, all the things that I've got going for me. If I don't watch it, I can let the bad things swallow up the good things. Even in church, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 says, in a great house, everybody shout a great house. There are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. See, when you come to church, you can let the bad that you don't like swallow up all the good in a great house. And there's vessels of honor and dishonor. And then he says, there's vessels of gold, there's vessels of silver, there's vessels of wood, there's vessels of clay. And the devil likes to highlight the one problem you have. He wants you to focus on the hypocrite or focus on the thing you don't like or notice that clay dirt thing and forget about the gold and the silver and all the good things and let the bad eat up the good. But I don't care what you focus on, God's word has declared it's a great house. And so is your house. And so is your family. And so is your marriage. But if you allow it, the bad can eat up the good. If you can't give me a Pentecostal amen, I'll take a Baptist nod right now. I'll take anything I can get from you. But I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Say, I have a great house. But the enemy wants you to only see the dirt in your house, the dirt vessel. He doesn't want you to see there's gold in there, there's silver in there, there's other great things in there. Just let the bad eat up the good and have a miserable day. Thank you, Satan. And every day we get up like that and let the bad eat up the good. You are alive. You have a destiny. You have a promise. You have the word of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and he's greater. Don't let the bad eat up the good. Charles Dickens wrote a book called A Tale of Two Cities, and he begins it by saying it was the best of times and the worst of times. And I challenge you to listen to those words, because that's the truth in many people's lives today. For some of you, these are the worst of times, but you're not recognizing it's also the best of times. You're rebuking me in your mind right now while I'm talking to you, and that's what I'm talking about, because this book does not want you to give in to your fear and your defeat and your hopelessness. That's a lie from Satan. And you got to recognize where it's coming from. So it was the best of times and the worst of times. Well, the Bible predicts in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're in those last days. But then Joel at the same time, not Joel Osteen, he's my buddy, but Joel the prophet prophesied that in the last days, the same last days that perilous times are coming, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So it's possible to have the best days and the worst days at the same time. Your worst days can become your best days with Jesus. My worst days were the days that God got the best anointing out of my life. My worst days is when he gave me my greatest messages. My worst days, when it felt like our family was falling apart, was when God was going deep in me and forming things in me that would help thousands of people. And I'm saying to you that God has a way of taking the worst days and making them the... What you have to do is make up your mind. You're not going to let the bad eat up all the good. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't let the bad eat up the good. Think on these good things. That's why the Bible said, put on the helmet of salvation. That means we ought to walk around in these kinds of days we're living in, spiritually looking like this. And whatever hell brings against us, all we have in us is the word of God that says, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. The good is going to overcome the bad. The good is going to triumph over the attack. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put a barrier and say, you cannot go any further. Somebody give God a shout of praise if you believe it. This is for somebody under the sound of my voice. Praise God. Sanctify your brain with the word of God. Don't let the enemy get you to maximize the bad and minimize the good. Daniel chapter 3. Everybody was bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's decree except three Hebrew boys. They would not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to give you a formula for success. 3 + fire = 4. That's a good sermon title right there. There were only three Hebrew boys that were put in the fiery furnace. Until there was fire, there were only three. But 3 + fire = 4. And when they got in the fire, they met the fourth man, and that fourth man was Jesus. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes the only way you can get where God is to get in the fire. Sometimes you cannot get to God without going through the fire. And 3 + fire = 4. And I'd rather have Jesus with me in the fire than be in the palace without Jesus. Because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But everything minus Jesus equals nothing. If you've got Jesus, you shall recover it all. Somebody give God a praise. Don't let the enemy eat up the good. Everybody take a praise break. I feel like something's about to break loose. A new joy, a new anointing, a new faith, a new encouragement, a new anointing through the fire. Sometimes the only way you can get where God is to get in the fire. Millions of people bowing down. Watch this. But Nebuchadnezzar gets transfixed on the three that were standing. And he forgets about all the good that was going on in his heart, what he desired. He doesn't see the millions that are bowing down. He just gets fixed, and the bad in his life starts eating up the good. Focus on that one bad thing, and it'll begin to take over all the massive good things that God is doing in your life. If you're not careful, you'll let the bad eat up the good. I thought about the book of Esther and how that even when it seems like God is not there, God is there. The scripture said that Esther came to the kingdom for such a time as this, and what was happening is there was an evil man by the name of Haman. And he had a decree, because he was very powerful, that when he rode through, everybody was to bow down and show him honor. He was the king's right-hand man. And everybody in that city of Babylon did it except for one Jew named Mordecai. And when all of the others were bowing, poor old Haman noticed that one Jew standing. And he let the bad eat up his good. That one Jew so got a hold of him that he began to plot and he began to strategize how I can not only kill him, but I'm going to kill all the Jewish race. I'm going to wipe them all out because that one guy didn't show me the honor he was supposed to show me. One day, the Bible said that Haman, this evil man, was in the presence of the king. And the king asked him a question. He said, I want to ask you something, Haman. He said, I have somebody in my mind that I as king want to show great honor to. What would you do if you wanted to honor? What should the king do to show great honor to this man that I'm thinking of right now? And Haman about burst the buttons off of his shirt because he thinks he's thinking about him. And he, let's play this game. I'll tell you what I would do, old king. I would get a white stallion and I would take the king's robe and I would wrap it around that man that the king wanted to honor and I would put him on a white stallion. And I would have somebody take the bridle of that horse and walk through the streets announcing, "This is the man whom the king honors. Bow down to him." And all of a sudden the king said, "What a fabulous idea. That's what I want you to do to Mordecai the Jew." Oh, can you imagine? And all of a sudden, God turns the table. You know the story, how that Haman hung on his own gallows that he had made to exterminate Mordecai and all the Jewish race. The plot turned, and now he hung. And to this day, the Jews have what is called the Feast of Purim, which is a celebration of how God delivered the race. In other words, they have a feast and they give gifts on the Feast of Purim. To this day, the Jews do, to relive and celebrate, listen, what didn't happen. We're pretty good at giving God thanks for all the things that he did and has done. But when's the last time you thank God for all the things that didn't happen? Your destiny, listen to me carefully. Like Haman, one thing, one person, one offense, one hurt can begin to so consume you that you can lose your destiny. You can be destroyed because you won't let it go. Maybe they did do you wrong. But don't let the bad eat up the good in the rest of your life. Maybe you were abused, but don't let the bad eat up the good. Maybe you did go through a divorce, but that doesn't mean God is finished with you. Maybe your husband or wife did pass away, or a child did die in a tragic accident, or some horrible thing has happened in your life. And the enemy, Satan, wants you to be transfixed and not let it ever go and never give you a right to enjoy another day of your life. And what a trick of the enemy. That is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let it go. Turn to somebody beside you and say, "Let it go. Don't let the bad eat up the good. Let it go." If you're in the woods and a poisonous snake bites you and your leg begins to swell, you've got a decision to make. You can get ticked off at that snake and start chasing him all through the woods trying to get him back for what he did to you. And in doing so, you're killing yourself and speeding up your own death by doing that. Or you can let God handle the snake and you go find the great physician and let him heal you. Some of you are so worried about the snake and you don't understand the definition of unforgiveness and wanting revenge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The definition of unforgiveness is I'm going to drink this poison so it'll kill my enemy. And you're letting the bad eat up the good. You're so bitter at that husband that left you that you don't even see. You've got beautiful children. You've got a healthy body. God is for you and God is with you and God is going to help you. Don't let the bad destroy the good in your life. I want to close with this. Joseph illustrates so powerfully the decision you have to make about revenge and unforgiveness, about letting the bad destroy the good in your life. You talk about somebody who had a right to be offended. Joseph is thrown into a pit and stripped by his own brothers, sold into slavery. Then he goes to Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife lies on him, accuses him falsely. He's in prison and stays in jail for 14 years for crime he did not commit. While there, he meets a butler and a baker and they promise him, when I get to Pharaoh, because of the way you've interpreted the dream to get me out of here, I will get you help. I will not forget you. But the Bible said they both forgot him. But here's what's so beautiful and so powerful about this story. Joseph now has been raised up 14 years later and he's in the palace and he has the keys to all of the silos. The world is in a worldwide famine and history records that the population of the earth would have perished had Joseph not preserved the human race with the dream that of storing up in the years of good so that you can handle the 7 years of bad. You cannot get ahead by getting even, and that's what Joseph understood. Joseph wept privately, but then he came back out, and then Genesis 42 and 9, and when he looks at him, this is the part that gets me, and Joseph remembered the dream. Had that been me, I would have remembered the betrayal. I would have remembered the woman who lied on me. I would have remembered the prison I rotted in for 14 years for a crime I didn't commit. I would have remembered the butler and the baker who forgot me when I needed them to remember me. I would have remembered all the bad things, but Joseph made a decision to not let the bad eat up the good. And the Bible said he remembered the dream. And I'm saying to you today, when he remembered the good, when he focused and was transfixed on the good, you meant it for my evil, God meant it for my good. I'm not going to look on the bad, I'm going to look on the good. It saved his family. It saved his nation. It saved his destiny. And I'm saying to every one of you that if you're going through bad times, your enemy Satan wants you to be transfixed on the bad times and let the bad times eat up the good times. You've been through drug addiction. You may be still addicted, alcoholism. And Satan says, just let the bad times keep eating up the good times. Eating up. You're destroying your family. You're destroying relationships. The bad is eating up the good. But here's the great thing. When Jesus steps into your life, he's the good thing. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. And suddenly, he stops the bad. And wherever bad has happened, Please listen to me. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where failure abounds, forgiveness much more abounds. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where there's tremendous bad, there is more good. Wherever the enemy has done bad, God says, I am so much bigger than the bad, and I can take and reverse things if you'll just give me your life. He remembered the dream. And I'm through preaching. But I want to say to you that you can get free from your past. I want to say to you that the way you get over old relationships is new ones. And the Lord would say to some people under the sound of my voice, behold, I do a new thing. And don't let the bad eat up the good new thing I'm ready to do in your life. Trust me, worship me, praise me, honor me. Don't just love me when I'm blessing you, but love me. This is a test, don't you see? This thing's going, your trouble is going to push you into your destiny. There are things that you're going to get in God that you can only get by going through the fire.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.